This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
I'm Helen Farmer. Fantastic to have you with us on the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast and some brilliant experts on the show today and talking about some of my favourite things. What did that dream mean? Dr. Jana Khalifa was on air to help analyse your dreams. Dr. Dieter was helping us answer those questions around canine epilepsy, cat spaying and scooting. Plus, Nathan from Donata Travel was back with their holiday deals and bargains and the most annoying habits of plane passengers.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
We are talking dreams today. What are they trying to tell us? And we're decoding them for you as well. So if you've got a recurring dream or nightmare and you're not really sure what it's all about, this is your chance between now and 3 o'clock today. Dr. Jana Khalifa, psychologist and author of Dream Revelations, is live on the line. Dr. Jana, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. How's Dubai Eye? Thank you. Dubai Eye is busy, brilliant, lots of fun. And I always really enjoy having you on the show because, well, I'm naturally, as a journalist, a very nosy person. So I like hearing what people are dreaming about. But I also find your insights just fascinating. I really do. So thank you for your time. I know you are incredibly busy. One thing I wanted to ask you before we get to the text line and lots of people getting in touch with a bit of curiosity about what their dreams are all about is when you're speaking to people about what they're dreaming about, do you tend to notice patterns coming through because of maybe what's happening in the world or in the news or even seasons? Is there any kind of flow to kind of society and what we're dreaming about that you've noticed in the past, Doctor?
Yes, absolutely. So for example, let's use examples, right? If you're in the UK and, you know, it's cold and it's rainy, for you that represents normality. But for example, if someone from the Middle East or living in the Middle East is dreaming about rain, then it's not such a normality. Mm. Also, during times of COVID, people dreamt a lot of stressful things. They would dream that they're falling or that they were running or that their teeth were falling out or that they appeared in public with, little clothes on. So people during COVID dreamt a lot of stressful situations, mm-hmm. and that's a reflection of their stress level. It also depends on age. It also depends sometimes even on months. So you mentioned seasons. It also depends on months. During springtime, people have more optimistic dreams. During wintertime, they have a lot more inward reflective dreams. So it depends on months. It depends on location. And it also depends on your environment, people mm-hmm. you hang around with, mm-hmm. and what they say to you, you know? So, yeah.
And when we have these dreams, and let's use that kind of stressful example, and, you know, the uncertainty everyone was experiencing around COVID, what are our dreams trying to do? You know, what purpose are they trying to serve and help us in a way?
So the key sentence here is relive to release. So if you just remember, because it's a really catchy thing, relive to release. So meaning the dream starts to relive the stressful situation so it can make sense of it, so it can find resolution, so it can find a solution. And the moment that it finds a solution in the dream state, you wake up feeling refreshed. You wake up feeling amazing. So it's relive to release. So some people do this through dreams. Other people who meditate and are very aware of themselves, they do this, you know, through practice, through daily practice. Mm-hmm. But people who, you know, are less attuned, they probably dream it. And the key is relive to release.
Dr. Jana with us this afternoon to help decode some of your dreams. So if you do have a recurring dream or nightmare, please do get in touch. Message here from Joe saying, hi both. My daughter, age 8, has recurring nightmares, is now afraid to go to sleep. What can we do to help her? Oh, that's really tough. That's a really tough one because, you know, we like to have our evenings when the children are in bed. And if you're getting these negative associations with sleep and relaxing and dreaming, what can you do to kind of unpick that?
So there are three things why children under the age of 14 have reoccurring nightmares. And this is very important for parents to understand. For people under the age of 14, nightmares are different from adult nightmares. So the reason why kids have nightmares is the phone, right? That's the number one reason. The images, even if they watch Disney and beautiful images, the stress on the mind coming from the LED screens, from the too much light causes nightmares, right? So that's very normal. That's the prime reason for nightmares in children. The second reason is stress-related and fear-related. So this child is experiencing stress-related issues at school and stress-related issues at home, or perhaps he or she is picking up on the environment at home. So his daughter needs to, the parents need to be honest with their children when there's a stressful situation and to address it. What most parents do, and sometimes I even do this myself, right? I'm like, oh, what do you have to be stressed about? You're a kid and you get everything. Mm-hmm. But actually, kids pick up on us. Of and course. It's so important that we say, look, mommy and daddy are having a problem right now, or, you know, there is an economic situation, or we are traveling. And with kids, the key is honesty and preparation. We have to be able to address those difficult emotions with kids and say, look, we're all going through a tough time, a stressful time, and honesty and preparation. So what can I do for you to help you in this situation? Can I fix your bed? Do we sleep together for a certain amount of time? And that's another helpful thing. And I know this is unconventional, but for sometimes kids do need to go into their parents' bed for at least 2 or 3 days just to recap that safety net.
Get that secure attachment. Okay, thank you. Dr. Joanna Khalifa is with us this afternoon. We are going to go to the text line next. She's a psychologist, the author of Dream Revelation. So if you're curious what your dream means, get in touch. Now, you can be anonymous if you prefer. We've had messages about dreaming of a dog who passed away 20 years ago, about meeting the man of your dreams in your dreams, snakes and have not finished high school. What does it mean? Coming to all of this and more next. So if you're curious, get in touch.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Joining us live on the line from Lebanon is psychologist and author of Dream Revelations, Dr. Joanna Khalifa. She's on hand with us for the next half hour, taking my questions and indeed yours. And Dr. Joanna, we've got Fatima joining us on the line. Fatima, you've been having some reptilian dreams. Can you tell us about what's been popping up?
Yes. Hi, good afternoon, Helen, and good afternoon, Dr. Joanna. My question is that ever since, even in my childhood, as well as when I was pregnant, throughout my 9 months, I have seen snakes, anacondas in my dreams. And it's every now and then I see snakes in my dreams. And in a way that, you know, these snakes, they attack me. I get up. I like literally shout sometimes in my dreams. I scream. And besides that, I see lizards also very often. So, you know, it's
what
just
does it
very,
mean?
I'm always scared in my dreams every other night.
So Fatima's dreaming about snakes, anacondas there, so, and it sounds like a very fearful dream, and lizards as well. Dr. Joanna, in terms of symbolism or emotions, what does that tend to result in, do you think, and from a meaning point of view?
So it's interesting, Helen, because you asked the question at the beginning about our environment and does it affect our dreams? And Fatima, in this case, snakes that are biting us or reptilians that, you know, create fear in us, this is usually our surrounding environment. So you have to take a look at everything that is surrounding you and where can you remove possibly certain people that are not so positive on you or don't have a positive impact on you. It's people probably that, you know, they drain on your energy, they suck on your energy. And this is why during the night you feel how they're draining energy from you. You feel like they're draining your positive energy from you and your fear is coming out. Usually the snake is also a symbol of something within you that needs to be, you know, healed and transformed. So also taking a look, but usually when the snake is biting us and we wake up with fear, it means that it is our surrounding environment that is not so positive for us. So take a look at your environment. There's three simple steps before you go to bed. Just take a look at your environment. Who are you surrounded with? Do these people empower you? Do they make you feel good? And the other thing is just maybe not eliminate them, but try to avoid people that, you know, don't empower you and make you feel good about yourself.
Fatima, I hope that gives you some things to think about. Thank you so much and wishing
you
sweet dreams ahead.
Thank you so much for Really.
Thank you. If you've got a question for Dr. Jana, do get in touch. We've got the text line as well. No name on this one, Doctor, saying the recurring dream I have is that I've still not finished high school, although I graduated a decade ago. And there's one final exam I need to finish. That, isn't that weird? That kind of niggling, that school dream. And yes, sometimes, as you say, it's involving not wearing what you should be wearing. And sometimes it's something that just hasn't been completed in this case. What do we know about that?
So high school is something that you wanted to achieve when you were young, right? It's it's your positive view. So you're absolutely right, Helen. Your interpretation is spot on. Just one more thing to reflect on. It is something that comes from your teenage years, when you were empowered, when you were full of hope, when life hadn't taken, when the decade over your high school hadn't taken a toll on you. So at that time, what were the dreams or the hopes that you gave up on, or what are the things that you dismissed that are not possible? This dream is calling you to actually live up to that and rebring it in your life, because it's inviting you to repeat high school. It's inviting you to redo it. So it's a dream that you shouldn't give up on. So just take a moment and reflect, when in high school did you feel empowered? What did you want from the age of maybe 12 to 18? What did you really want, and live up to that? Take that course, take that action, take that job. So it's very powerful. Mm. And usually, really, say yes. Sometimes we just have to say yes to opportunities. The moment we set ourselves up, I'm going to say yes, certain things open up for us.
Love it. Dr. Jana, we're stealing you away from practice there until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you've got any questions, and it could be relating to dreams as a topic, you know, why you dream, how you dream, or as we've had messages and calls on the topic today, maybe you want to understand what a dream you have or have had once or 100 times is trying to tell you.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Joining us live on the line, Dr. Jana Khalifa, psychologist and the author of a book called Dream Revelations. She's on hand to answer my questions and yours regarding your dreams. So whether it's decoding, understand why we dream, or perhaps you want to share your dream experiences, we're here for you. Now, you can be anonymous if you prefer. We've got messages galore. I think a lot of us are very curious about what our dreams are trying to tell us, especially for their recurring dreams. An anonymous message here saying, I have recurring dreams about my ex. I'm happily married with kids and it's been about 10 years, but every now and then I dream about him and wake up feeling absolutely guilty for having seen him in my dreams when waking up next to my dear husband. Is this quite a common one, Doctor?
Yes, very common. Yes. No matter how much you love your husband, routine, you know, love is always associated with some kind of spark, something, you know, mysterious going on. And your boyfriend is that mysterious aspect. So, yes, of course, you're going to dream about him, especially when you are lacking that in your everyday life. Husbands and marriages give security, give shelter. They provide us with growth. But unfortunately, excitement is a little bit more left with the title of boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So take a look at your life and just really maybe try and experience maybe friendship, or try to experience something exciting with your husband, or push yourself outside of the comfort zone. These are usually why we dream of our ex-boyfriends. We are in need of some excitement, something that breaks our routine, something that gets our blood boiling, as they say.
All right, that's your homework. Go do something exciting. Love the sound of that. A message here. Laura, I really feel for you. Laura saying, I've dreamt of my dog who passed away 20 years ago. He was so happy to see me. What does it mean? Oh, I think I'd find that really upsetting, but also kind of lovely at the same time. What could a face, whether it's a furry one or otherwise, from our past to be trying to tell us in this context?
So, Laura, you're probably missing a friend. You're missing someone. Maybe you've relocated to Dubai, or maybe you feel a little bit in the need of affection and love. And usually dogs are a symbol of friendship, love, support, and mostly affection. So I don't know, but in this case, maybe try to bring another pet into your life if you're able to. If not, seek out affection and support by calling parents, family, connections, anything that can bring true affection, loyalty, friendship into your life. Because usually that's why we dream of our pets. We love them, we appreciate them, and that's the dog symbolism, is loyalty and affection.
Great question here from Petra saying, what does it mean if celebrities turn up in your dreams? I'm curious, Petra, who are you dreaming about? But what does that mean? You know, with sometimes it's a stranger you might meet in a dream. We've had a message about that. But what if it is a kind of a known person, a celebrity who maybe is just, you know, having dinner with them in a very normal way?
Well, it depends on who the celebrity is, and I would love to know who the celebrity
you're
dreaming
Petra,
about is. But celebrity dreaming is not as often, but usually you have to take a look at what you associate that celebrity with, right? So is it like, someone who's rich and powerful? Is it like a king? Is it like a singer? So depending on what you associate that celebrity with, this is a message for you to embrace that. Mm-hmm. Meaning if you're dreaming of someone who's rich and powerful, you probably are at a point in your life where you need to seek power and money. Most of us are, but, you know, if you're dreaming of power and powerful celebrities, if you're dreaming of a singer, then that's probably fame related. So you need to show yourself more. You need to exert yourself more. So it depends on who the celebrity is and what that person represents in their real life to you.
Okay, that's a great one. So they're kind of a symbol of what, yeah, exactly what they represent or what you might be aspiring to or what you might be missing in your life. But yeah, Petra, let us know who you're dreaming about. No name on this message, Doctor, saying, I'm always dreaming of doing an exam, failing it, or at times late for an exam. I'm 40. Lots of school dreams today, but that sounds like a real anxiety dream. What could that be?
Okay, so we're 40 and we're dreaming about failing an exam. So I'm not going to take guesses on the radio, but there is something in your life that you haven't achieved and you're running out of time. And perhaps that's related to children, right? If you do have children, then there is something in your career that you're looking to achieve. But mostly, if the dream relates to failing an exam, which again goes back to that childhood or the teenage years, it is most likely related to children. So yes, sometimes these things are not in our hands, mm-hmm. right? And I understand that. But maybe come to peace with that. Whatever it is that you haven't achieved or would like to achieve, either pursue it or come to peace that it's not gonna happen, mm-hmm. so that it stops holding you back, mm-hmm. right? It's something that constantly, like it's like you're driving with a blind spot. You're constantly, you know, in reverse mode.
I've got a really interesting question from Gia here saying, my dreams are often very vivid that my husband or a friend has betrayed me. Is my subconscious trying to tell me something about these people? Interesting question. What's your take there, Dr. Jana?
Keeping it light.
Oh, no.
Watch out.
Yes.
Usually, guys, like anyone listening, please don't underestimate your dreams or don't underestimate your intuition, right? That's so powerful. It's helping you. It's one of the tools that's actually helping you. It's not there to trick you or to entertain you. It's helping you. It's telling you what it wants to make you happy. It's telling you what you need to achieve your dreams. And yes, if you are getting a dream that is warning you from certain people, then perhaps it is time to look at what is that missing area that you are not addressing, or you're turning a blind eye, or you don't want to see, and really face it. And that, there's great power in that. There's great power in facing our truth, right? Living up to our truth. So yes, absolutely. Take a look and just really open your eyes and just, yeah, you know,
Report back. A last question. No name on this way. In this one, saying, in the past, I've met a guy who made me genuinely happy, made my heart flutter. I used to take naps just to see this boy. Should I be looking out for him in real life? Can you imagine like someone, because we've heard this before, you know, some incredibly, you know, creative people, you know, Mary Shelley dreamt certain scenes of Frankenstein. I think Paul McCartney said he, you know, parts of Yesterday came to him in a dream. So we've got these kind of, you know, artists and creatives, but do you think you could dream your dream partner and that come true? I'd love that. That's like a rom-com.
Okay. So just for the record, we have to take a look at our intuition. And in this case, my intuition is telling me that this is probably not a dream. This is what we refer to as lucid dreaming or fantasizing or things that we do to escape our reality. And honestly, this is the best thing that we do. We usually dream up scenarios of love, dream up, you know, stories. And this is the technique that a lot of people use to manifest the life that they want. Mm-hmm. So the short answer is yes, you can look out for someone like this. But understand that this is not a dream that you are dreaming. It's a dream that you are creating, right? So we also have to be practical with, don't look for the physical features. Yeah. These are things you've decided upon.
If you meet an amazing person in real life and go, well, you don't look like my dream, man. You haven't got the brown eyes that were in the dream. Okay. I love this. Dr. Jana, thank you so much. If anyone does want to find out more and, of course, read your book where you're offering some brilliant insights in terms of analysing our own dreams and some of the kind of the key findings you've made in your career, what's the best way of getting hold of Dream Revelations?
So the best way is Amazon. It's always available on Amazon. And another thing is, please, guys, do go on the website of Dubai Eye. Type in underneath the interview any questions you have. I'm more than happy to answer them. Or you can Instagram us, houseofwisdomcenter.com. And we're more than happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Always absolutely fascinating. And I wasn't brave enough to tell you any of my dreams, so I'll DM you later. Dr. Jana, thank you so, so much.
You're listening to Pets and Vets on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With ProPlan, where the number one ingredient is always high-quality salmon, lamb, turkey and chicken.
We have got a fantastic vet and a fantastic prize as well for you. Get in touch with any questions, concerns you might have about your animal, and we will put you into the draw to win 3 months for worth of pet food, treats, supplements and more from Purina ProPlan. And joining us live in the studio is Dr. Dieter. He is the owner of the Blue Oasis Veterinary Centre. How are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me this afternoon.
Get ready for a busy show. Already lots of questions. Before you go to the text line, who do you have living under your roof on the animal front right now?
We have a cat at home, and he's an inside-outside cat, and I think he's enjoying life very much.
Oh, what's his name?
It's Busy.
Busy. Busy. Don't forget, I do like to get the names of your animals. I'm not so fussed about your name, but I do like to know what you call your animals. And what's coming into clinic? What's keeping you busy? Any kind of seasonal trends or anything that's got you particularly interested at the moment?
Oh, we are a small animal clinic, so we're getting pets in mainly, so dogs and cats and rabbits and guinea pigs. They keep us busy with all their problems and needs, and also a lot of preventive examinations we do to keep the animals healthy, keep them vaccinated, keep them dewormed, keep them free of parasites. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's like also more complicated cases keeping us busy with animals that need hospitalization, stay in the clinic for several days, doing a lot of diagnostic workup with ultrasound, x-ray, blood, some MRIs or whatever is needed for the animal to get the best and speediest recovery as possible.
You've been a vet for how long, Dr. Dieter?
I graduated in 1994.
And when you look back to, I guess, your childhood or student self, what were you most excited about embarking upon that career?
I think the idea why I started to study veterinary science was actually want to become a farm vet. Wanted to go on the large animal.
All creatures great and small.
That's right. And that's exactly the inspiration where it came from. But during the study, I shifted my mindset in regards. I think pets are more the ones that I want to look after. I worked a little bit in the large animal in Australia. Then coming back to Europe, and I started my career at the University Clinic in Vienna as a radiologist, where I stayed for 10 years before I went into private practice, and then 2005 to Dubai. Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you with us today. We've got lots of questions, as I said. Before we go to the text line, though, I wanted to ask you about a condition we hear an awful lot about in humans, which is epilepsy. And I wondered if you could perhaps shed a little bit of light about how this can look in dogs in particular, what treatment methods are available right now. So are you able to kind of break down a little bit about what epilepsy is? What happens in the body and the brain in a dog if they are suffering?
I try to keep it as simple as possible.
Please do.
Epilepsy is actually a multifocal condition where there is a firework in the brain, an uncontrolled firework in the brain going on that can origin from one small part of the brain or can combine both sides of the brain. And depending how much of the brain is involved, how severe the seizure, the fit, the seizuring is. If it's with losing stool and urine, or is it just shaking? Mm-hmm. Is it biting on the tongue? Are the animals still able to stand or fold over? So there is a lot of graduation in regards of how strong a fit can be. On the question where it's coming from, it can be from idiopathic, means we don't find out where the reason is. So we do all the diagnostic workup. We rule out all metabolic disorders like liver disorders. We rule out cardiovascular problems like heart problems. We rule out any other kind of condition systemically that can cause an epileptic or epileptiform fit. And then the last step is the MRI to see if we find any substantial change within the brain. And even a complete normal brain in the MRI can then have seizures. And that's what we call then idiopathic epilepsy.
And Dr. Wen, is it something that a dog would be born with or can it develop?
It can develop, but there are some breeds that are more predisposed to it. So especially like, for example, Golden Retriever is a predisposed breed that have epilepsy more often than other breeds. It can be the result out of a trauma. If you had a car accident and there was like some damage onto the head and there was a small bleeding, the result can be epilepsy in the future. So if there's small scarring in the brain, that can be enough already to cause epilepsy. But we have also cats and dogs that come in with a skull fracture and survive that and never have a fit. Mm-hmm. So it's very unpredictable how and which animal will develop epilepsy and in which strength.
So what then about treatment? Because I'm presuming they've got lots of medications available. Are there kind of lifestyle or diet factors that might help manage it?
There we have to differentiate two things. And I think one thing I want to highlight right now in the very beginning is also that one of the first steps, you never start treating an epileptic dog after the first seizure. Because it can be the one-off seizure in the lifetime of that animal. And you don't want to treat an animal for the next 10 years with psychopharmacers or whatever nutrition supplementations you do for a one-off seizure in the life. So epileptic dogs or owners of epileptic dogs, the first advice they get from me is like, start a diary, note, when did it happen? Morning, evening, afternoon? What was happening before? Mm, did you walk the dog? Mm. Is there any trigger? Was it like a lightning? Was it fireworks? Was it a door smashed? Was it we had a kids' party? Was it whatever? Is it like a bulb that is flickering in your living room that can trigger that? So try to get as many indications and factors that could trigger it as possible. And then wait for the second seizure.
And hope it doesn't happen. And if it does, then it's a case of coming
And then
back.
In the second, after the second seizure, if it's like within, after half a year, you don't do anything. You probably do some blood work up to make sure that the animal is healthy. You probably do an abdominal ultrasound to see that there is no tumor that can have a metastasis somewhere else or things like that. But the diary, I think, is the number one thing that we should consider to start right away after the first seizure because we lose the timeline. You know how Dubai is here. It was last week. Oh, no, it's already 3 weeks ago. You know what
so
I mean?
True.
And then you get the family in and then they start fighting in your consultation room. No, it was 2 weeks. No, it was 4 weeks ago. No, it was after daddy left and it was before grandma came, you know? Just write down when it happened and as much information as possible, and then we wait for the second one.
And then if there is this diagnosis, you've got the medical route, but also you mentioned supplementation there or food. What's on offer?
On offer is that On one base, you can change the diet of the dog. You can change the diet to a diet that is specially designed for that. Coming in from the sponsor of that radio afternoon, and what that food does is actually to give the brain some energy. That's not glucose. Glucose is the most important nutrition towards the brain cells, and they found a way when the sugar metabolism in the brain is not functioning properly anymore. There's an alternative route to give the brain some energy. And if the brain has more energy, it's less likely to go into firework.
That's what we want. We want to avoid the fireworks. Dr. Dieter with us this afternoon from Blue Oasis. If you've got any questions for him, and many of you do, this is your chance. Not only can you, of course, get some answers live on the radio, but you also go into the draw to win some Purina Pro Plan. We are talking parrots, spaying and scooting next. Intrigued? You should be.
You're listening to Pets and Vets on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With Pro Plan, where the number one ingredient is always high-quality salmon, lamb, turkey and chicken.
Joining us live in the studio to answer my questions, but most importantly your questions, is Dr. Dieter. He's the owner of Blue Oasis Veterinary Centre. And you can get in touch with us in the usual ways, 4001 if you want to kick it old school on the SMS. You've got your ARN Play app, and we're getting lovely photos through on the WhatsApp too. It's the same number as the phone line if you do fancy a chat, 0487155000. To the text line, Dr. Dieter. Andy V is saying, can you recommend a parrot behaviourist within Dubai? Finding medical help is hard enough, but professional trainers and behaviourists seem almost impossible in the UAE.
I would say, like, living in the UAE since 2005 and have seen many vets here coming and going, one of the constant exotic pet vet here in Dubai is Chris Lloyd. So if you have any question about exotic animals, I think he's the person to speak to, or to his clinic here.
He is Mr. Exotic. He couldn't make it on the show one day because he got called to a penguin emergency at Ski Dubai.
Easily. So that's Chris, yeah.
So you can find him at 2 feet four paws, or four paws 2 feet?
No, 2 feet four paws.
Thank you. I always get it confused. really hope that helps, Andy. Let's go to Anna's question, saying, my dog keeps scooting. We've tried all the needed methods and vet checks. Doctors are not able to advise why this keeps on happening. Any advice or suggestions? Now, choose your words carefully, Dr. Dieter. What is scooting?
Scooting is when the dog is rubbing his bum on the surface of the floor or carpet or grass or stone.
And this isn't for fun.
No, that's not for fun. It's a wrong end. The dogs and cats have in that area the anal glands. That's part of the marking territory leftovers. These glands can be inflamed. These glands can be overfilled. That needs medical attention, seeing a vet. The other thing is, it could be an endoparasite, like a worm or a part of a worm tries to come out. And that's quite an itchy condition as well. If you think you wormed your dog regularly or recently, just keep in mind that deworming is only a treatment that happens on the time you give the tablet. After 48 hours, you can reinvest again. So it's easy possible you said, I did the deworming 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, it can't be worms. That's not true. It can be, especially if you have not treated your environment at home, it can be that the dog picked up the next one and it's again starting to crawl out on the other end. But get the anal glands checked up, and if you can rule out that, go for a strict deworming protocol. And if that's still not helping, I think you have to investigate a little bit further. Dogs can also have hemorrhoids that can also be itchy. There are also some ointments on the market that you apply. So I think if the normal home remedies, like emptying the anal gland, putting some warm compresses there to loosen that anal gland, deworming does not help, I think you should definitely see a vet to get any further.
It's all glamour, isn't it? It's all glamour.
And that's why we studied veterinary science, for that end of the dog.
Hope that helps, Anna. Scooting. I don't need to see a photo or a video. Thank you very much. Right, a question on... Well, do you know what? I just love getting your messages. We've been sent brilliant photos of Lemon and Bertie. Lorraine's cats are called Edward, Rodney and Steve. I love a human name for an animal. I just love it. My old boss used to have a dog called Steve, and I was like, well, that's ridiculous. And then I met Steve and I was like, yeah, he couldn't be anything else. Now, let's see if we can help out Peter. Peter has a dog called Luke, a miniature schnauzer who's traumatized whenever he has to be groomed. How can we help him get over this? Poor little Luke.
Yeah, poor little Luke. Most likely had a bad experience. So a dog is in general very trusting human. So because they are raised by humans, they are fed by humans, they are walked by humans. So they like us, you know, and they are pack animals. They try to stay with us as close as possible. So if there is anything that traumatized the dog, they try to avoid that. So I would say good advice would be to get a groomer that comes to your home. And I'm not meaning one of these grooming vans where the dog has to come out again. I mean a groomer that you can trust, that you get into the house, introduce the groomer, him or she, to your dog.
And presumably, obviously, it's a familiar environment, but familiar smell as well.
Yeah, and try to get like a gentler approach. I'm not a big fan of sedation because how often you want to sedate the dog per year just for grooming? So I think you should get that right again, that the dog starts trusting a certain person who is doing the grooming for you at home and then probably in the van or somewhere else. But I would say try to do it at home. That's also when we do house visits for medical treatments or for vaccinations, because many dogs don't like traveling in the car, mm-hmm. cats are traumatized getting into the box. So we try to get somebody at home first and see if that helps.
Not to take this in a dark direction, but we had our dog put to sleep at home. And I have to say it made us as a family feel a lot better because we weren't having to go into a kind of a clinic environment. And I also think it helped the other dog as well kind of understand what had happened. And I think it's an amazing service to be able to offer, to be able to come to someone's home when they're feeling distressed about that situation.
I think there are two main reasons for house calls. One is the simple vaccination, deworming, because you don't need a lot of medical equipment that you have to carry with you. If you come with a sick animal and you need like the background of your clinic with ultrasound, x-rays, blood and things like that, then I can't help at home. And the second reason for house call is euthanasia, to not carrying a 40 kilo dog into the car that's not able to walk anymore,
exactly.
Then into the clinic. And so doing that in a calm and environment from home is a very good way to say goodbye if needed.
It really was. I mean, given the circumstances, it felt like the best way, the best way to say goodbye to her. And I do think it helped Jarvis, her younger brother, kind of process what was going on. Dr. Dieter's with us this afternoon. We've got questions about kittens, about spaying. Lorraine's asking, why do animals get worms so much? We're going to be talking about that as well. Please do get in touch. This is your chance to, as we're saying, not wrangle a cat into a cat carrier or a dog into the boot, but to maybe test the waters if you do need to go to the vet or if you've noticed a behaviour that you're curious about. Plus, anyone who gets in contact with a question, a photo, a story, you're automatically in the draw to win a fantastic, it's beyond a goodie bag, it's a hamper. 3 months supply of food and supplements, treats and more from Purina Pro Plan.
You're listening to Pets and Vets on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With Pro Plan, where the number one ingredient is always high quality salmon, lamb, turkey and chicken.
It is Dr. Dieter of Blue Oasis Veterinary Centre in the studio with us this afternoon, taking your questions and, of course, giving you a chance to win that brilliant prize from Purina Pro Plan as well. Now, I'm always one to maximise my time with guests, and I was just asking you off air, Dr. Dieter, about... So I've got, as Ron correctly identified, I've got two Cocker Spaniels. One is called Jarvis Cocket, get it? And we've got Lucy. Now, Lucy is very barky indeed, and she thinks she's trying to protect us from, you know, the Amazon delivery driver and someone going past our gate. And she's very happy with herself when they go past the gate and she feels her work is done. But it's adding to my kind of stress. If I come home and the house is noisy and the kids are doing that and this TV's on and the dogs are barking, it starts to get a bit much. I don't know how to discourage her. And you had a couple of suggestions. And barking is something we get a lot of questions about, actually. Over to you.
Barking is a typical reaction on a dog, as you said, trying to protect you or make you aware that something is happening. Some breeds bark more, some dogs bark more. There is a gentle way of giving the dog a little bit of a correction that has to be instant. So it doesn't help if the dog barks and 3 seconds later you shout, "Don't bark." That doesn't help at all. Mm-hmm. So there's a collar on the market available that has a small container with some citronella flavor inside. And every time the dog barks, it makes a small with a small splash of that citronella going from the neck, because it's heavy, it's hanging on the lower side of the neck, forward towards the nose. And you know how sensitive the nose of a dog is. So they don't like the smell. So they learn that bark means of citronella. Often then it's enough to put the collar around because they expect that the citronella is coming. So it's like with the Pavlov dogs when they got learned that when you ring the bell afterwards they get the food, so you could stimulate the salivation of the dog by just ringing the bell. Similar here, you train the dog that something is happening with the barking. The dog doesn't like that. So if you just put the device around the neck after the learning curve is done, then they know, okay, no barking, otherwise I have citronella in my nose. That's very gentle, it's not harming, and it's worth trying.
Okay, and I have to ask, you know, we don't use pain to train, and this is animal friendly. I just need to be 100% clear.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with electricity or good shock or whatever. It's just citronella smell, and the doctor, I don't like that.
The irony being we're going to have to get a delivery driver to bring it to us, so she'll have maybe one last bark. Thank you. Do appreciate it. Let's go to the text line, 4001. Albert saying, does spaying a cat change their behaviour?
Yeah, end of the day, you're taking one of the desires of the cat away to get to multiply. So it's one of the deep instincts in the animals is like surviving and then keeping my genes in the loop. Mm-hmm. Spaying, of course, is taking that desire of reproduce and reproduction out of the system. And I think they don't need to reproduce, so I don't think that the desire is something that the cats need to live through. Mm-hmm. It's even more stressful to go through heat and heat and heat without having a pregnancy after that. So with a female dog or a cat, there's no doubt about it that the spaying is the best choice. For a tomcat, of course, as well, you don't want to have too many cats roaming around. And if you have a tomcat at home, he will start spraying the territory and you will kick him out end of the day because that smell you can't handle. So in a dog, it's a completely different topic, and I think we can fill an afternoon with that, if a male dog needs to be neutered or not. But that's a different story. But in a female cat and dog, I think the spay is necessary, but it will change the character a little bit of the cat. Yes. Okay.
Hope that helps. Speaking of cats, Suleiman's been in touch on the text line saying, taking care of a stray cat in my parking lot, feed him or her every day, but the cat doesn't like being touched or get scared when I get too close. It's been more than 3 months. How can I let them know I'm not going to harm them?
I think, first of all, don't understand that I'm rude or I'm not caring about animals, but being in a controlled environment like a garage, getting fed and watered there is not the worst thing that can happen to a cat. So if the cat is happy to get fed and get water on a regular basis and can hide in this garage between cars on top of the convertible, that's what my cat loves on my car, it's not bad. And I don't see the reason to catch that cat. So as long as the cat is healthy, not showing any nasal discharge and losing weight. And even losing weight, the first thing would be popping a worming tablet into the wet food and make sure that the cat is at least dewormed. Of course, it would be ideal to get the cat for vaccination, things like that. But if the cat is untouchable, just try longer and accept the situation that the cat is actually fine with that. Mm-hmm. Trouble comes when the cat gets sick. Yeah, then it's heartbreaking to see that you can't approach the cat. The cat doesn't accept that you want actually to help and is still refusing getting approached.
Okay, but for now, Suleiman, it sounds like you're doing a great job. So give it time and Yes, as you say, not a bad little life for a stray there, being well looked after. It's been a wormy day. Marla's been into it saying, I gave my five-month-old puppy a worming tablet on Monday, but she hasn't been able to keep her food down since. Is she having a reaction to the tablet? Should I take her to the vets?
It's easily possible that the stomach got a little bit irritated by the tablet. It's also important if you give worming tablet that you give it with some food, that the tablet is a little bit more like in an surrounded environment and not directly exposed to the mucosal membrane of the mucosa of the stomach. So it's easily possible that that's happening. It's not very common. It's also possible that the dog had already before the tablet a little bit of a stomach irritation, and now the tablet just was the last drop in the glass before it spills over. I would say go for a very blunt diet for a couple of days, and don't give it another try with the worming tablet. There are different and other possibilities to take care of worms as well. So I would say try to get the stomach under control first with blunt diet, either commercial or home cooked. And if that doesn't solve the problem, I think you should see the vet. And important, because it's a puppy, as far as I understood, make sure that the puppy is not losing weight. The weight curve on the puppy's 5 month old should only go up. You can easily do that with your scale at home. Weigh yourself with and without the puppy and make the math after you solve the riddle with the,
with the math dessert.
Thinking about that already.
You're not allowed to win. You're a friend of the show. Okay. I really hope that helps, Marla. All the very best to your pup. Dr. Dieter, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you with us this afternoon. And just to kind of lift the lid on Pets and Vets, everything, anyone who sent in a message this afternoon will know that. It's all coming in real time. Dr. Dieter is just that good. So I do appreciate your time and your expertise. And all the very best to Busy the Cat. Have a good one. Speak to you soon, sir. Thank you.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Joining us live in the studio to answer my questions and yours, we've got the lovely Nathan Taylor. He is joining us from Donata Travel with some brilliant bargains, some ideas. We're talking honeymoons. And of course, if you've got any questions about where to go, what to see, maybe you've got some particular criteria in mind, a bit of a travel conundrum, if you will. Think of him as being your personal travel concierge. I was thinking about going away during half term, Nathan, and then I worked out how many holidays I've got until the end of the year. Do you want to have a guess?
You're looking at me with mischievous eyes.
More like sadness.
Oh, right. None.
None. Minus. Oh, no. Minus days.
Minus days. Okay.
Minus days. You might be hearing me at the weekends to try and get some days in lieu. So this is definitely a hint of jealousy for anyone that has got any lovely plans coming up. Don't get me wrong, I don't regret the lovely summer I had, but I wish I'd paced it out a little bit more. Now, you are, travel is your life, travel is your work. So you do find yourself on planes quite a lot, Nathan. So yes. I'm curious to get your take on a recent survey. This is out of the States, and it's called the Airplane Etiquette Violations Survey. Dum, dum, dum. Now, in first position, the most annoying behaviours on planes we're talking about specifically. And guys, I'd love to get your take on this. What annoys you most about your fellow passengers? Rear seat kickers.
That was number one.
Number one.
Okay.
And then people who are disruptive after drinking too much. Mm-hmm. Number two, poor body odour. If anyone in the airline industry is listening today, how do you deal with that? Do you move somebody? What if the plane is full? Do you take them off for a little tactical
a spritz?
Is there not a doctor on board? Is there any deodorant on board? And smelly food. We've discussed this before. Way back from Portugal, people coming aboard with all sorts of food. And don't get me wrong, I don't mind an innocent sandwich or a few crackers, but if you're going to break out the fast food, think again. Five, poor or inattentive parenting. That hurts. That hurts.
I'm not qualified to comment on that, so I'm not going to say anything.
I can tell you, no matter how bad your journey is as a passenger with next to an annoying baby, the parent is having a worse time. Hogging the armrest. Go on.
Can I give a bit of a rant on this one?
Oh, yeah.
This would be my number one by far. The armrest conundrum is the worst.
What is the etiquette, though?
Okay, so I've got very clear rules with this. If you're sitting on a window seat, you've got a view, which means you have a view and you have your window side armrest. If you're sitting on the aisle, you've got an extra little bit of leg room and your aisle side armrest. And if you're in the middle, you have absolute right of way to both armrests.
Agree or disagree, let us know. Sanjay, my pet peeve, feet.
Ooh.
Put the feet, I would extend this to armpits. I do not want to see your toes. I do not want to see your armpits.
Oh.
Put them
How
away.
How do you feel about socks? Socks fine, feet not
I'd
fine.
Rather a sock than a naked foot.
Yeah, agreed.
Know what I mean?
Yep.
Maybe we're coming back to body odour again. Reclining the seat fully in front of you. And this is a tricky one because if it's within the, you know, you're allowed to do it. You're kind of allowed to do it. I would always do a little courtesy check. Be like, is it okay?
It is annoying.
It is really annoying.
But, yeah.
And also during mealtimes,
oh, yeah.
Pop it up. Talks too much to you.
No one talks to me on planes. I think I mustn't look very
Maybe
approachable.
You've perfected that face. Now, my Nana, bless her soul, her favourite spot was in the middle because that meant she had not one but two people to talk
gosh.
To.
Nana.
Nana Flo. Love to chat. I've had this before where someone just wanted to talk to me so much that they turned down the volume on my screen.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did. And I'd spotted him in the lounge at Amsterdam, and he was wearing a hat that had a fan that was solar powered. And I was like, "That's the guy you don't want to get stuck next to." Guess who I got stuck next to? He spent the entire journey talking about his car collection, and then when I politely did the, "I'm just going to put my headphones on," he reached over to my screen, turned down the volume, and tried to get my attention.
No
again.
Way. Mm. At least his fan didn't work.
Oh, if you're listening, he was living in somewhere in the UAE. Boards or D-planes out of turn?
Oh, this, I think I've spoken to you about this before. Mm-hmm. Just go in order. We're all going to the same place. We're all getting to the same place at the same time. We're all waiting for our bags together. It doesn't matter how quickly you get off the plane, trust me.
It's not a competition. Yeah. It's not a competition. And in 10th space, listens to music or music too loudly.
I've had this. Mm. I was just saying to my colleague before, I had someone on our plane ride home from Kenya, but someone watching a movie on their iPad really loudly without any earphones on.
Without earphones?
Yeah, it was...
I think that's a psychopath move.
It was unbelievable.
Let us know yours, guys. Do you agree with this list? Rear seat kickers, body odour, smelly food, poor parenting, the armrest conundrum. Do you agree with Nathan on this? Talking too much, reclining. A message here from Rav saying clapping upon landing.
Yeah, that's...
It's in at number one. Let us know yours, 4001. You can be anonymous. It's a safe space to have a rant. Up next, we are giving you some honeymoon inspiration and taking your questions too. So if you are wondering where to go, how much to spend, this is your chance. 4001 is the SMS. You've got your ARN Play app as well. And of course, you can be getting in touch on the WhatsApp. I'm going to be quizzing Nathan next. 1 in 3 young adults don't feel like they've had a proper vacation unless they've done what? Revealing that next.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Talking travel, Nathan from Donata Travel is in the studio. Nathan, any guesses? 1 in 3 young adults don't feel like they've had a real vacation unless they've done what?
Ooh.
Keep it clean.
This is hard. Been on a plane.
Posted about it on social media.
That is disgusting.
I know. What a world. Burn it down. We've been talking about a recent survey, which is brilliantly called, that sounds so grim, the Airplane Etiquette Violations Survey. And we've got a few rants on the text line. One saying snoring.
See, this is not...
Are you a snorer?
Depends who you ask. My wife would tell you that I am a snorer, but it's not the person's fault. They're not doing that intentionally.
And this is true.
So
it's unfortunate, but it's not
correct.
Vindictive behavior.
Agreed. Yeah.
And no name on this message saying on a night flight to the UAE from the UK, I was sitting next to a gentleman. I took my flip flops off, put my cozy socks on, and fell asleep. I woke up to him tickling my feet.
No way. What?
Yuck. Pet peeve, staying too long in the toilet. And dirty toilets.
Ooh.
Dirty toilets. Yeah, that's not. Anyone working the airlines, I'd love to hear from your point of view. What do you hate in passengers? Let's do some passenger shaming. Right, from the ridiculous to the sublime. We're going on honeymoon. So for any lucky couples who are going to be getting married soon, we're rounding up. And I'm not saying you should be cutting any costs on your honeymoon, but you know what? Think about your marriage. You could be spending more money on other things.
On each other.
Exactly. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to save some dirhams? Is it possible, though, to get a bargain in the Maldives, which I think is held up often as the ultimate honeymoon destination?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you said, it is really the ultimate honeymoon destination, always has been. It's so beautiful. There's so many amazing places you can go to. But of course, you know, we've got some incredible offers, some incredible deals. And the best thing is they always love to give you a little bit of extra things if you're going there on your honeymoon.
So should you say when booking?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Tell your travel expert at Danata Travel that you are going on your honeymoon, that you're recently married.
Will they check?
Some will. Some will. So, yes, you should always have a copy of your marriage certificate with you because the hotel can check. And you don't want to be that couple that checks in saying they're on honeymoon and then get found out that you're not.
No.
You'll get stink eyes for the rest of your,
you will indeed.
Of your holiday.
So what's in the Maldives?
Well, one of the ones that I really love is the Conrad Maldives Rangali Island. It's absolutely beautiful. It's 5-star. It's very luxurious. The best part about it is we've got some amazing honeymoon offers as well. So if you're going there on your honeymoon, not only do you get, obviously, your breakfast every day, your return economy flights, we've got 20% off your stay. Honeymooners get 25% off their seaplane transfer to the resort, which is very good. And they also get in-villa decoration.
Please tell me
probably
some
your swans.
Heart-shaped.
Oh, yeah. Towel swans.
Towel swans. And,
that's what it's all about.
I want rose petals in the shape of a heart every day.
Every day, yeah. A romantic 3-course dinner, which they have like a specific restaurant for that as well on the island. And you get a 60-minute aromatherapy couples massage as well. So they've got lots of stuff.
Lots of add-ons. Make some memories.
Yeah.
This isn't a honeymoon question as such, but it is a bit of a honeymoon destination. It's from Marianne saying, we're considering returning to a wonderful hotel in Mauritius, but would appreciate it if you've got any recommendations for a great deal somewhere else on the island, ideally luxury with golf.
Yes.
Yes?
Absolutely.
Go on.
Look, to answer the question really quickly, 5-star Lux Grand Corb is exactly where you want to stay. They've got an on-site driving range, so perfect for golfers and very easy to get around to all of the golf resorts that are on the island of Mauritius. But Mauritius itself, even if you're not going for golfing, there's so many things to do. There's volcanoes, waterfalls, beautiful beaches. You know, it's gorgeous. So different. I think people tend to conflate the Maldives and Mauritius.
Totally different.
But very different, yeah, as you well know. So much you can do. And the French Creole inspiration there, particularly in the food, is just awesome.
So you say it's called the Grand...
Lux Grand Corb. So that is spelt G-A-U-B-E for everyone playing at home. And it's beautiful, really like retro chic, cool tropical resort. But like I said, for the golfers, it's perfect because it's got its own on-site driving range and very easily accessible to all the other golf courses on
the
island.
That helps. Let us know, where did you go on your honeymoon, 4001? Mine was, I don't want to say scuppered by being 7 months pregnant, but it wasn't exactly what we planned. We'd thought about doing safari. We thought about doing like a road trip across the States. And instead, I was very tired in Sri Lanka just ate for five whole days.
I mean, there's worse things in the world to
do. No regrets. Absolutely none. But speaking of safari, this is a popular honeymoon destination because it is for many people and something that is so on my bucket list, I can't even tell you, a once-in-a-lifetime type holiday.
Yep.
Is that on the list?
Yeah, absolutely. So we did safari for our honeymoon. I just got back in July. I think we spoke about it. And it was absolutely divine. Perfect way to spend a honeymoon if you're not the beach type.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not just wanting to go away and sort of have a relax. Because it's certainly, as amazing as it is and as beautiful as it was, it's not a relaxing holiday. You're up early, you're going all day, you're trying to really maximize the most of your time there to see as many animals as you can and get out and see everything. But Kenya is by far the best place to go, I believe, for a honeymoon. It's all set up. It's beautiful. Some incredible resorts. Obviously, you're including all of your game drives. You've got all your meals included as well. The one that we really recommend on danatatravel.com is the Best of Kenya package. So this includes a night in Nairobi. You've got breakfast there. You've got 3 nights in safari lodges. So that's including a stay at Lake Nakuru. So
this is not tents.
So summer tents, summer lodges.
Okay. I'm down for both. I'm just trying to get my, you know, just paint me a picture.
It's a great question, actually. And this is a little bit of a digression. But if you do see lodge or you do see tent, they are different things. Mm-hmm. So I think this is where talking to a Donata travel expert is really key, because, you know, if you're looking at offers online or offers elsewhere, it can get a bit confusing about what is included, what isn't included, what type of accommodation you're staying in. So speaking to one of the Donata travel experts is always my recommendation. You know that, but I am a little bit biased. So yes, we've got safari lodges in Lake Nakuru, and then in the Masai Mara, you're staying in tents. You've got 5 game drives included, English-speaking safari guide, all of your taxes and government fees included, return economy flights, all of that stuff. So it's all set up, ready to go.
Do I have to be on honeymoon?
You don't have to be on a honeymoon. You don't have to be on honeymoon. But what I will say, everywhere we went, when we went, we did pretty much this package. Everywhere we went, we had the swans and we had the petals.
Was everyone
everywhere.
Kind of competitively out romancing each other?
Yeah. And every day we got a slightly different variation of the swans and the petals.
Oh. Monkeys?
It was great. Yeah. We had elephants. Monkeys, we had elephants, yeah. And then the roses were arranged in different situations as well, yeah.
Love it.
I was very impressed.
We have got some great rants. Turning on the spotlight while everyone else is sleeping.
I don't know why they give you access to lights.
I know. Get a Kindle.
Yeah.
Or just shut your eyes.
Yep.
Taking away your light privilege. Not anymore. I hate people asking to change seats since their kids and partners are not seated together. That's a bit of a tricky one, isn't it?
That's not...
I just feel like you should try and be as organised as possible and not make it someone else's problem.
That's fair.
Do you know what I mean? If someone has a preference for an aisle seat or a window seat and they have taken the time to book in advance to get that, then respect that.
Question without notice. If someone gets up a lot and they know they get up a lot on a plane.
Tiny bladder people.
Yes. And they're sitting in the middle and you're sitting on the aisle. Mm-hmm. And they said to you, look, I get up quite a lot. How about we switch?
I'd be happy to consider circumstances.
Me too.
For anyone listening today. Pet peeves on a plane after landing, getting up before the seatbelt sign goes off. Treating cabin crew badly. Well said indeed. And leaving the toilet a mess. Quite right. Shabba went to Mauritius on our honeymoon in 1999. It was awesome. Sammy went to Simla in India. Now, Simla looks absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful Himalayan foothills and colonial buildings. Let us know, where did you go on your honeymoon? And up next, we are giving you some bargain breaks here in the UAE. I can't believe half term is already coming. And we've got a question here asking, should you go to Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan? 5 days, about 4 hours from the UAE. Andrea, we're going to be putting that to Nathan Taylor of Donata.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Joining us live to talk travel is Nathan Taylor, asking, where did you go on your honeymoon? And if you've got any conundrums, by all means, get in touch. Message saying, got married in Jamaica, went on honeymoon to Cuba and the Bahamas.
Amazing.
Nice. Love Amazing. The sound of that. Andrea's been in touch saying Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan. 5 days, less than 4 hours from the UAE. Thank you. Talk to us about the Stans.
Yeah, so I've been a lot of places, you know this, but I've not been to Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan, and they are both...
Get out of this.
I know, they're high, high, high on my list. What I would say just off the jump is be prepared for a different type of travel experience in either of these destinations. They're a bit... I don't want to downplay them, but it's more of an adventure is how I would sell it. So, you know, just be prepared for that type of holiday.
I feel like it's real fun. Very diplomatic.
No. Yeah. I'm not at all. I just think, you know, it's very different to going somewhere like, say, like Paris, you know, the capital of Uzbekistan, for instance, Tashkent's just a different kettle of fish. You can do some amazing rail trips around this part of the world as well, and that's for both destinations. One of the reasons I would love to go to Kazakhstan, though, is getting down to Baikonur to see a space takeoff. So they do the launch. Yeah, so Baikonur in Kazakhstan is the oldest still-in-use spaceport on the planet. So they still do launches from there, so you can go there and check it all out. It's really cool.
You time it well.
Yeah, exactly. So timing is very important. The hotels, though, listener, if you're doing any Googling, they will make you chuckle. you know, think very vanilla walls with, you know, pictures of old Russian monarchs and stuff on the.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Immediately checking this out.
Yeah, yeah.
What any other suggestions? We've got October half term coming up. Where else would be on your hit list? And I like this idea, the kind of maximum 5 days, less than 4 hours.
Yep. absolutely number one for me is Baku in Azerbaijan. One of my favorite close to home destinations. It's just a little over 2 hours to get there, so you barely even feel like you've been on a flight. It's so much fun. There's so many things you can do there. Just in and around Baku itself is quite busy and really, really fun. But you can go out into the mountains. You know, it's coming up to ski season, so it's brilliant to go skiing over there. It's really affordable and really, really easy to get to. And the skiing is pretty good, to be honest. So I
well,
would
this
definitely
is the thing. Like I personally find skiing holidays really stressful, really expensive. I've cried many a time at the top of a slope, being like, my friends are too sporty and too competitive. I'm not enjoying myself. Yeah. But what I'd say is, if you're looking to get kids into skiing, you don't want to be. I personally wouldn't want to be spending a fortune, because what if they hate it?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
If you can go somewhere locally and, you know, be a bit more kind of stripped back on the budget.
And 5 days is the perfect amount of time. You know, Baku is small enough that you can do it in a couple of nights and then get out to the mountains. But Baku has enough on offer that if you really want to dig deep, you can pretty much spend, you know, 4 or 5 nights there.
So what deals have you got in that
So we've got a 3-night stay at the 5-star Hilton Baku in Azerbaijan. We've got a family room there, so all the families listening. Breakfast every day, kids stay and eat free, return economy class flights. It is 2,990 dirhams per adult and 1,220 dirhams per child.
That's for accommodation and flights.
And flights, yeah.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. And presumably the children, that's just their plane, because you're
just
all just in the room.
Yep.
Okay, we might talk separately. See if I can.
You need a holiday,
Helen. I need one day to be able to go for 3 nights in Baku. We talked about the Maldives for honeymooners. What about over half term for families? Are there any resorts that kind of stick out in your mind as being particularly family friendly?
Yeah, for sure. The Maldives, I think I've said this before on the show, but the Maldives over the last 2 years has really evolved into a lot more of a family friendly destination. And, you know, a lot of the resorts there, even if they were already catering to the family market, have really upped their game. One of those is the Kurumba. It's a 5-star in the Maldives. It's really, really, really beautiful. Lots of things to see and do. Obviously, all your water sports are catered for, so it's perfect for the kids. Great place to go and just get away from it all and feel like you've actually had a break. Post whatever you like on social media as well. But we've got a 3-night stay there in a deluxe bungalow, 25% off your stay. Again, kids stay and eat free. Return economy class flights and return speedboat transfers for everyone is 5,075 dirham per adult and 2,990 per child, which is, again, just the airfare.
Annie's saying, where can we find these deals? It's all on dinatatravel.com.
Absolutely.
You can speak to the team as well. Let's quickly squeeze in some staycays here in Dubai. I mean, Dubai is buzzing.
It is.
We have got some new hotels opening up, so I'm wondering if this is going to allow some kind of residence deals or something. Please. Is there anything, Nathan?
We've got a lot of new hotels either that have just opened or that are planning on opening in the next sort of 3-4 months as well. So please, you know, keep a lookout, keep an eye on donatatravel.com. We're making sure that we've got all of the best offers for you available. One of those hotels that's pretty new in Dubai is the Taj Exotica Resort on the Palm.
It's stunning. Yeah. It's got the biggest swimming pool.
It's huge.
It's humongous.
Absolutely massive. Did you see the coffee shop? I know this is weird, but there's a coffee shop in the lobby which is also massive.
Yes.
But
also the Taj, you know, really well known for always having an excellent high-end Indian restaurant, and this one is supposed to be amazing. I haven't been yet.
Neither have I, but yeah, I've heard the exact same thing. It's supposed to be absolutely beautiful. We've got a luxury room there with half board, so that's breakfast and dinner included. It's 545 dirhams per person per night. It's a stunning, stunning resort. You know, you can have rooms with jacuzzis. The rooms are all quite big.
I'll do that.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I really, really, really love it. It's got its own private beach, private cabanas, all that sort of stuff. It's the Taj Exotica on the Palm.
Biggest swimming pool I've ever seen.
Yeah, go for it.
And lastly, Fujairah, before heading out to other Emirates. I know you've had some great deals at the 5-star Fairmont in the past, and you've got one today.
We sure do. It's my favourite hotel in Fujairah, the 5-star Fairmont Fujairah Beach Resort. We've got a Fairmont room there with breakfast. It's 390 dirhams per person.
There you go. Don't say we never give you anything. So where are you going next?
Well, I'm not going anywhere for a while, but we've got the very last of our honeymoons. I think I've said this. We've had multiple honeymoons this year.
5-part honeymoon.
Yeah. So the last honeymoon we have is Norway at the end of the year over New Year's, and I cannot wait.
Good Good for you, she said, the girl with no teeth. Holidays left. DonataTravel.com for all of this and more. Pleasure to have you with us as ever, Nathan. We'll talk to you very soon indeed. And thank you for downloading this episode of the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe. You'll get direct to your phone as soon as it's out. And you can listen to me live on Dubai Eye 103.8, Monday to Friday between 2 and 5 p.m.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.